life, yeah. Freedom, freedom, revenge. Hello, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Freedom Revamped, the podcast. As you can see, Deshaun is not here. I'm crying internally. But that is okay because I'm super excited about this episode. I have three amazing women with me today. I have Marleya, Kia, and Taja of Uplift the AWOC. And today we will be talking about abstinence. So we're going to go ahead and bring them onto the screen.
Hello.
All right, so I first want to thank you guys for joining us here today at Freedom Revamp. But before we even get into our conversation, can you guys tell us a little bit about Uplift the AWOC and why you guys started the platform?
Yes.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I'll say my little jits. So I'm Tasia. Known as like the living sunflower, but I think the main reason is the real walk of absence walk. So we wanted to shine clarity and give that light, the truth, the sign of light and truth that it's not an easy walk. And we wanted to use our stories to encourage others that is real, that it is sometimes painful, that it does have hardships, but we are aspiring and continuing to this walk as a group. So I'll let my ladies expand on that.
You ready for me to go? Yeah, so when Kia first came to me, I was like, oh, that's great. Because Kia is the one that brought the idea to me, and I had already been well off, I think a year or so into my abstinence journey. So it was like the perfect timing. And it kind of just, from initial feeling, it just made me understand and feel how important it is to have community and accountability and truly just be able to be there for other people that are taking that step or interested in taking that step, and knowing that you have a community that you can depend on, lean on, embrace. We're going to give you the real, the raw, not sugarcoat anything, because, you know, we've gone so long without the guidance of true abstinence. So it's finally a perfect place to be able to express and guide others as we are too, being guided by God.
Yes. And so me, lastly, I had this idea, which it wasn't originally mine, because I was a part of this organization called The One University, mm-hmm. by two pastors, Pastor Millers, it's the Millers. And so they have this abstinence section, a part of the organization, and it encourages us to have a community. Like, you can't, you know, it's hard to do it by yourself. So I thought of these ladies, these are the first people I reached out to. And I was like, you know, we need this community. We need to strengthen it, you know, and like Marleya said, accountability. And then honestly, these two are the ones that bloomed it and was like, well, let's post it to, you know, social media. Cause, you know, it's not just us, you know, that is abstaining. There's so many people out here that needs accountability and that just needs help and understanding in abstaining and doing this walk. So that's why we decided to create this organization.
Yeah, I definitely think it's needed, because growing up in church, you hear, don't have sex until marriage, but they don't tell you that there are temptations, that it's hard. It's a very hard journey. So I, for one, applaud each of you for starting your platform, starting your accountability group, and then branching it out into posting it on social media, because it definitely helps your audience as well.
Yes.
So our viewers know that it is tradition here at Freedom Revamp that we ask everyone how they define freedom. So that is the first official question I have for you guys. How do you define freedom?
Y'all want me to go first this time?
Yes.
Okay. Honestly, when I thought to think about it, I would say wholesomeness, which is basically, in my personal definition of being like a wholesome person, just having joy. I feel like, honestly, being released from anything that has been having you trapped, you know, and from becoming, you know, your best self. So I feel like freedom is honestly just being you, your best self, and having freedom from forgiving others, whatever you have gone, you know, whatever you have experienced through your life. You know, it's just, you went through it, now you feel great. It's just full of joyfulness. You're a wholesome person and you just feel great. So I just feel like that's what freedom is.
I go next. me and Marley play eye contact.
Yeah, we did.
So I define freedom as security in yourself. Something, freedom is such a personal word for me because it's like, if anyone has ever experienced like low self-esteem, something where I find personal is just like, be that freedom to be yourself and to not have this judgmental, because the world, what I'm trying to say, we live in a very judgmental world. And so when you look on social media, it's very easy to be clipped into like so much of what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're being applied to. So it's just to find your own freedom, to define who you, your own security, who you are. That's something that I kind of find. That's how I define freedom.
Alrighty, so I define freedom as obedience. And what that looks like for me is that a lot of times that I don't know the abundance of life until I surrender, you know, and truly surrender to who I'm called to be. And that comes with so much freedom that many people don't understand or know of. Like people think that just because you surrender and you obey what your purpose and what you're called to do, that it's parameters and boxes and things of that nature. It's just a level of protection that you have when you just obey and you walk with Christ fully. And I think that's a level of freedom that took me a while to understand, but overall it has brought a big understanding of what freedom really is when I just walk in obedience. Yes.
I like that.
Awesome. I love all three of those definitions. And it's interesting that you brought up learning and discovering your identity, because those are actually our three pillars, our pursuing purpose, discovering identity, and defining internal freedom. And this next question is sort of based on that idea that we have to practice freedom, because growing up, we're always taught who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do, either from our family members, our friends, our society in general. So in order to travel the journey of freedom, because we say that it's not really a destination, it's something we constantly have to work towards, we almost have to practice it in the sense that, okay, now I have unlearned what other people define me as. How do I constantly reassure myself in who God says I am? So how do you practice freedom? And that can be through journaling, it can be through yoga, meditation, studying the word, different things like that.
Practicing freedom, honestly, by giving yourself grace, and reading the Bible, I feel like, because that can help you with guidance on how to continuously to improve your freedom or to, you know, become free with yourself. Honestly, let's see, being grateful. I feel like having constant reminders and being grateful, you know, thanking God for how far I've come. I feel like that's always like something that really helps me and become happy, like, dang, like I've made it this far to become who I am, to be, you know, free as who I am. And lastly is community. Like I feel like having that community around you to encourage you to still continuously to pursue freedom and really to share, you know, those experiences with each other. So that's mine.
Okay. I'll go. I think practicing freedom can be defined by me would be counseling. I think that it's very healthy to conversate and to go through past trauma or past events and to define and find your freedom through those situations and go through the levels of forgiveness and to be a better form of yourself. I think that will be like my top one of practicing freedom, so I can free myself from any guilt I may had, any pain I may have had. I think that is a huge one because I feel like a lot of things for my pertaining to my past has really sparked my growth. Once I went back and I went through those stages and we were talking through it, I was able to find a better community once being able to identify like some things I needed to work on as an individual. So I think counseling and then community would be for me. Yeah.
I agree with both of you. Like y'all have the perfect pattern of practicing some of the things that I do. For me, some of my things that I do to practice freedom is to really maintain my discipline, of course, in the Word of God. And as I maintain my discipline, like we bring back to the purpose and the understanding of who you are and your identity, sometimes you have to literally take that time to hold yourself accountable by reflecting. So I guess most of the time when I practice freedom, I reflect. So I bring whatever that I have going on, I bring it to God and I'm like, okay, what's going on with me? Am I doing what I need to do? Am I off? Am I far from you? Different things of that nature. And so I journal a lot. And based upon my journaling, I can determine, you know, where I'm at in my walk. So, of course, community is a big thing because when it comes to identity, those around you that you share who you are to those people. And so when you are outside of who you are, they can hold you accountable, be like, you're not like that. So what's going on? Let me bring you back. Let me pull you back together so you can continue to be free in who you are and not the influences of other people. So I think just discipline overall, accountability overall, community, and the biggest thing for me practicing freedom is reflection. So yeah.
Those are good. And I've honestly never thought about community as a form of practicing freedom. But now that all three of you have mentioned it, it does play a huge part in my freedom journey, because as I've grown into the person I am today, there are still like temptations to fall back into the person I used to be. But my community is surrounding me and saying, no, you're no longer that person. Let's continue to move forward. So I feel like that is very important. And I'm kind of upset that I never thought about that.
We brought it to you, so that's
yes. Yes, y'all are on here for a reason. Yes.
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and get into the topic today, which is abstinence. And I want to ask, you guys all don't have to answer this because it's actually one definition, but what exactly is abstinence? Because there might be viewers out there who don't know what it is.
Overall, it's just practicing or refraining from sex and you're waiting until marriage. That's the overall, really the overall definition. And that means like any kind of sex. So that means intercourse, oral or anal sex. Mm-hmm. And then, so people try to squeeze things in and try to snip things in the bud. I'm like, nah, sis, you got to wait till your husband come, or nah, bro, you got to wait till your wife come. You know, so that's the overall gist of it. Yeah.
Definitely. And I think key point is that a lot of people use abstinence with celibacy in two different things. And so we made sure that on our social media, we do have a post about the difference between the two, due to the fact that a lot of people, you don't want to speak that for your life, because celibacy is that you don't want to get married. You don't want to have sex. You just don't want to do anything. Sometimes celibacy is for when people are practicing that for purposes, like people that don't ever want to get married. But abstinence of waiting until marriage and speaking from all forms of sex. So that's the big thing. So for the viewers out there, go check out that definition to decipher the two so you know which walk you're actually walking.
Awesome. That was going to be my next question, so I don't even have to ask it anymore. I mean,
come on, Marlea.
Yes, you better preach. But so I didn't have this question planned, but I just thought about it. Why do you think it is important to God that we remain abstinent?
Oh, that's deep.
Let's see.
Paige?
So God gives us many reasons. I feel like there's multiple reasons why he does tell us to wait to have sex. What people I don't think realize, and I had to have an understanding of myself as well, is that sex is a form of worship. Honestly, the things that we're supposed to do in our lives, period, is supposed to worship God and Jesus Christ. Marriage is, it is about, you know, spending time with your partner, but at the same time, it's the main purpose is to help increase worship and spread the word of God.
Yes.
But, so yeah, I feel like the main thing, sex is worship. So if you're not worshiping God, you got to ask yourself, who are you really worshiping when it comes to that? And as well as what Tasia said, you know, sex, it's just important. It can mess around with your mind. You know, it is not just the physical, it's the spiritual, it is the mental. And it can deter your thoughts if you're, you know, having sex outside of marriage and for the wrong reasons. And people don't realize that, you know, you can have soul ties, you know what I'm saying? And it's so hard to break those. Okay, it's really hard to break those. And God just really overall wants to protect us. That's why he gives us boundaries. You know, it's not, he's not trying to let us, you know, suffer or anything like that. He gives us boundaries for protection and because he loves us. I feel like that's like the main gist. And sex is within a boundary, which is was supposed to be for marriage. So that's my response.
Yeah, I also do feel like it is a form of protection because people really underestimate the fact that soul ties exist.
Right.
And that they're very real, and anybody that you choose to sleep with, you can pick up on their habits, their trauma, like anything that is going on in their life, you can pick up on that simply by having sex with them one time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, like, we don't think about that when it comes to having sex with people, but I feel like God does put things in order for us to, in order to protect us, and we don't think about that too much. Yeah. So did anybody else want to add on to that?
I agree 100%. There's a lot of things. My definition more leans toward, well, my answer more leans towards purpose. There's a lot of things that you are figuring out during your walk. And so a lot of time you are supposed to be focused on your purpose because you were given purpose before anything. So that's one of the things you've been given purpose before your husband. And so a lot of times people don't understand that you want your spouse to be in alignment with your purpose. Mm-hmm. And so that will determine the a lot of things in regards to your relationships, what your purpose is in life. And so if you don't know what that is and you are literally involved in different relationships, a lot of people get lost in that person. And that at times can be, like we said, very toxic, very detrimental to your spirit, very detrimental to your walk, a lot of things, and detrimental to how you view relationships. And so overall, it's important to, first and foremost, know your purpose. So the person that you do align with is in alignment with that. So, yeah.
That's good. And I think one of you guys mentioned free will. And the crazy thing to me is God does give us that free will, but he lets us know the warnings of what is going to happen. Right. So I feel like we just really need to take that into account, not only with abstinence, but any decisions we choose to make in life. Mm-hmm. So since we've all established that our choice to remain abstinent is focused on our relationship with God and the calling he has on our lives, how has that relationship directly affected your choice to remain abstinent? Because I do know Christians who have fallen into that temptation. It's like they don't want to, but that temptation can sometimes be so strong that they just give in. So how has your relationship with God really aided in you remaining abstinent?
That is a great, great question. And for me, it's been discernment. Oh, it's been discernment. Like the fact that you're disciplined and you're not
Not saying that we're not tempted, not saying we don't ever fall into temptation and maybe, you know what I'm saying, have some rocky moments. But overall, that level of not being involved sexually with anyone, it allows you to hear God so clear. Because at the end of the day, you're moving on his will and not your own. And so as a result of that, I can hear what God is guiding you to do better. I don't have much more confusion because I seek him above all else. I'll be like, God, this person trying it, Lord, what I need to do? Because my flesh say do this, but I know you tell me to do that. But for the sake of the matter that I've established that discipline, I know who to go to first. And I get to tell my flesh no and tell God yes. So that literally has aided my walk with him overall. It's just overall improvement for me.
Honestly, how has my relationship with God played a role in choosing to remain abstinent? I just want to shout out Transformation Church because honestly, that whole relationship goals, I saw that a few years ago. I was, I think, a senior in college, and that's when I honestly had the full meaning and understanding of sex. Because the thing is, you know, in church, I've been going to church all my life, and they didn't talk about sex, you know, much. Or if they did, it was like just because God said so. And so it's not enough. And once you find out things, well, more so, once you find out God and Jesus for yourself, you want to read the Bible more. You want to be involved and listen to sermons, which was when I was really starting to build my relationship with God and Christ. So I looked up relationship goals, and that was actually when I had the full meaning and understanding of what sex was and how important it was to wait until marriage. And of course, how detrimental it can be as well when you do have premarital sex. Mm-hmm. And it was that. So listening to sermons, and then, as I said, the One University, they went more in depth with how and to encourage how to be abstinent, and talked about soul ties and community. Honestly, that was like those main three things, really, and reading the Bible. That was the thing. So you really, in order to really have that strength, you really need understanding. Yeah. Like, people don't understand. A lot of people don't know what sex is. You learn it from society. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, once you gain that relationship with God and Christ, you would want to do his will. You would want to actually be encouraged and be excited to read the Bible. So all of that is really just strengthening. Once you strengthen your relationship with God by having community, by reading the Bible and listening to sermons and just having an understanding from his point of view instead of the society's point of view, that will actually lead you to do right and to remain abstinent. So it's really just overall understanding sex and the reason why to wait as well.
Definitely. I agree with you all. I think that you all have really great points. I would like to close on adding, making it personal. I think one thing that in this walk I had to adjust my mindset on isn't that the mind of like being perfect and trying my hardest and not. It was almost like when temptation came, I had to be like, oh, I'll do these self-talks. But these self-talks didn't mean anything. I would have to do those self-talks and do directly pray. Or it wasn't up to me to be like, oh, I got this. It wasn't up to me to give myself a motivational conversation or talk, a pep talk. It was really in strengthening the conversation with God and be like, okay, this is where I'm falling short. This is where I'm lacking in my discipline. It's just the honesty and that personal relationship with God that really strengthened for my choice to remain absent. So.
Yeah, Kia mentioned how sex isn't really talked about in church unless it's don't do it until you're married. And I sort of call those hush topics because it's like they tell you one thing about it and that's don't do it, but they don't tell you anything else. And I honestly feel like that's where the church has, our churches in general, has sort of failed us, because it's like, wouldn't you rather learn about it in a godly way so that we can understand it better? And they're just like, no, we don't need to talk about it. Don't do it until you're married. But to answer this question myself, I think one of the main reasons I chose abstinence is because there was a point in my life where I felt like unworthy of mere human love. So I felt unworthy of my mom's love, my sister's love, my cousin's love. And ultimately, of course, if I don't feel worthy of their love, then why would I feel worthy of God's love? And I just never wanted to have that feeling again. And it wasn't anything I had done. It's just, I really, like I was saying earlier, I didn't know who I was. So how could anybody love me if I don't know who I am? And so I just never wanted to get to that feeling again. And of course, God forgives us, like no matter what sin we do, he'll forgive us. But I just never wanted to feel that internally. And then when I really started to dive deeper into his word and listening to my pastor and just a relationship with God in general, it really just, like Marleya was saying, it really just gave me more clarity. When you're not taking in all the things of the world, then you can honestly hear God's voice so much clearly. And once I started like just doing the things he told me to do and not doing the things he told me to stay away from, then it was like my path to purpose became so much clearer. So I feel like it was just a decision that was needed for me. So with that being said, we've all mentioned temptations. So I want to ask you all, how has this specific journey been hard for each of you? Because we've said it's been hard, but how specifically has it been hard for you?
Woo! This is a good question. Letting go of a lot of things that could tempt you. Because a lot of the things that really will tempt us is what we delve into daily. Like you're on Twitter daily, or you're on Instagram daily, or you're listening to your favorite playlist daily. And a lot of us don't understand that. For me, it's music. Oh my gosh, I love music so much. But there's a big stronghold on music and secular music as a whole, and it really opens the doors up for you to be tempted. Like if you listen to a certain song and you like, you know good and darn well, you're not supposed to be listening to this. You're not supposed to partake into any of these things. And so you have to let go of things. You got to let go of your playlist. You got to kind of clear some songs and push them over to the married love playlist. I literally have a married love playlist because I can't be listening to this until I'm married. And it's just also just when you're approached, not being tempted to say yes and really listening to your discernment dinger and be like, look, I already know what you want. Even though you're handsome, you might have approached me correctly. But on the further side, I know what your intent is. So I'm going to leave you alone now. So that's the tough part, because God has really created some very handsome men. Oh, they've been handsome. But you got to pick your purpose and you got to pick your journey and your walk, and that all will align for you when it's time. So, yeah.
I think that how it's been hard is, I don't even know how, you know, like sometimes I just can't find words to describe. Okay. That is one of these questions where I'm just like so baffled by so many words, but I cannot fully express it to you. But if I have to express it, I would just be like, it is the most humbling experience I've ever had to endure, where I've had to remove myself. And I know that doesn't sound right, but my church often, I go to one community church in Dallas, Texas, well, in Plano, Texas. And the topic that is normally what he's speaking on is marriages, and he's trying to continue to rebuild and sustain marriages. And that is such a topic. I'm like, why are you always talking about marriage? When are we going to have a conversation about the single people? When are we going to talk about this, this, this? And then sometimes I have to tell my spirit that this might not be the time for that. I might need to listen to this in this time to like be able to remove myself, because marriages, when I listen to the definition, when I hear what the pastor is preaching about, he says it's not about you. So our sexual needs sometimes isn't going to be about us. It's just the marriage is dying to yourself. So this is a learning lesson why I'm being absent is dying to myself. Because when I get married, it's no longer about me. So there's really this is surrendering. Am I surrendering to him so then I can be able to be in a godly marriage? This is my training. So yeah, that's how I feel. The absence, this has been hard, and it's a lesson, because then, you know, eventually it's gonna be harder lessons when I'm gonna have my partner, and you know, it has to have like those things to be aligned and that strengthening that God needs to be in the middle. So
come on, training ground.
Yes.
Come on.
It is. So
but let's see, me, just like Marlea mentioned, really is, I think it's just being surrounded, honestly, consistently, constantly surrounded by sexists in society. It's in media, even music. Like she said, actually, me and Marlea had a conversation about that, about having different playlists. And I had mine as prohibited, you know, like I didn't realize, because like I said, you know, back in the day, I honestly didn't realize what my music was actually saying. I was like, oh, it's a good, you know, especially R&B. Oh, you know, I like the vibe. But I remember one time when I actually started paying attention to the lyrics, when I tell you it was like too sexual, I'm like, it's just too much. So some things I just need to completely remove myself, or like I said, wait till marriage. And I still have to clean out my playlist. Like I'm still doing that to this day. And it's really hard, because you're like, it's a, you know, good song, but some things, you know, especially those songs that get you, you know, flashbacks or anything like that, you need to let them go. Okay, so it's anything like that with the media. And then really what Tayja said as well, self-control, like that's really the key. And I feel like that's the tough part, is maintaining it, having self-control. That's the goal. Because as Tayja mentioned with marriage, I mean, if you can't really control yourself now, you know what I'm saying? You think marriage is going to cover it up? It's not. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be men here and women. They're not going to disappear. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be fine, men and women all over the place. But when you, just because you got a ring on your finger does not mean that you don't have sexual urges or feelings. So it's hard, because you have to really correct yourself, you know, with fighting against temptation, fighting against lust. Because, like, there's fine people in this world. But you have to really think about it, be like, are you really lusting after them or what? And at the same time, you got to ask these people who are coming to you, you know what I'm saying? Be like, do you really want to get to know me? Or are you really just lusting after the way that I look? Because I know I look good, but don't be lusting over me, you know what I'm saying? And so it's really tough. But overall, you can make it. Like, I know plenty of people who waited till marriage. A couple actually just got married that I know of. They waited. And then I know somebody else. They've made it too. They had extreme measures, kind of. I wouldn't say extreme, but like, you know, you just have to have boundaries and all that to make it, because you can do it. It's hard, but you're dying under your flesh. You're not supposed to be giving into it. So you're literally just, you die. Whenever you feel it, you know, you feel sexual urges because you're supposed to. Like, people don't realize, like, God gave us these urges for a reason. But that does not mean to give into them every time, you know, you feel it. You know, you're not supposed to be, you gotta work and have self-control. So has it been hard? Yes. But are we gonna get through it? Yes. In the name, okay. But don't wait till my husband comes, okay.
Hello. But like, just to finish off what you just said, Kia and Tayja, was the fact that you, like, we were given these urges, and just like coming back to the training ground, like the discipline of dying to yourself daily starts now. It starts now, because when you get married, a lot of people be like, marriage is for me. No, it's for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of things that you understand if you're in a relationship, and that's also going to help you weed out those who are for you and who are not. Because if he respects your discernment, I mean, it respects your abstinence, and you respect his abstinence, like, for instance, it's going to understand that, okay, y'all both are focused on God, and y'all both are coming into this in a balance and an equal. And so it's important, as tough as it is, you feel like it ain't many out there. Be like, it's dwindling down, God, where he at? Or where she at? It's just about the factor of, okay, if God has not presented that person to me, that means there's still work to be done. There's still work to be done. I still have stuff to do. I still have to move. I still got assignments. There's things that I haven't figured out, because everything moves on time, and whether you like it or not. If you're going to submit to it, do it. And submit willingly. As hard as it may be, submit willingly.
Right. I agree, because that's the thing. At the end of the day, it's free will. It's your choice to choose what you want to do. But doing God's will is a smoother path, you know, than doing your own way. And then to follow up on, like, the dating, I feel like a lot of people think of it as a con, you know, because so many people are having sex out here. And it's harder for you to find that person. But I honestly think that it's a pro, because I'm like, if you ain't ready, then get out my way. You know what I'm saying? We're not wasting time here. You know, it's like, if you don't want to wait, that's on you. You know, we're not here to condemn you or anything. We're going to hit the light. And it's your decision to choose if you're going to abstain. And the thing is, I don't want to force nobody to do it. I want you to abstain for yourself. You know, that's the main thing. I'm not trying to push or force anything. I'm not the type of person that will, but I will encourage and educate you, and it's your choice. And so that's the thing. When it comes to dating, I honestly feel like it makes it easier for me, you know, to move along. You know, if you ain't interested, see you later. There's somebody else out there, whether it's slim or not. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I would definitely agree that it is hard, because not only because of the temptations in our personal lives, but also media drowns us in 6666. So it's just like, can this get out my face? I'm trying to do right here. Like, so the last thing I want to ask you guys before we give our listeners their help work, as we call it, is, can you guys give them some tips on how to handle temptation when it does arise?
Who want to go first?
I go first with that.
Go, Tasia. Go, number go.
Okay. I will say, forgive yourself. I think so very well that Christians, we have this mindset of, like, we read the Bible, we have this fire, we want to do it, and then we fail to our flesh, and we get so down to ourselves, and we start beating ourselves up about it. God does not, he's not a God that's condemning. He is forgiving. So in those times where you feel like you are about to fail in your flesh, forgive yourself. Have that forgiving mindset before the condemning mindset. And I'm not encouraging you to fail. I'm just encouraging you to treat yourself with kindness. I think that something I've fell short in is when I have these particular feelings, I'm like, oh, I'm beating myself about it, because, like, why am I thinking this way? But you're in this sinful world, you have these sinful needs, and it's just the power of just praying and just trying your very best to not go towards it. But if you do not, I would say, this is just my something to say to the listeners, is forgive yourself, repent, and continue to walk in the light of God. Don't go into depression. Don't beat yourself up about it. And continue and strive for the best, but don't condemn yourself.
Yes, definitely. Dust yourself off and keep going. Mistakes, if you don't make mistakes, you will never learn. And so a lot of different things and situations, like when the temptation is there, you have to, like it says, like, come back to reflection. What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you feeding that will literally guide you to be there? Like, nobody else in this world is supposed to know you better than you know yourself. God knows you, but he's trying to get you to know yourself and who he calls you to be, not what the world created, not what the world influenced you to be. So it's literally the best way to handle temptation, in my eyes, is unlearning some of the behaviors that you once had. Like the things that you used to do, the things that you used to delve in, you have to reflect on those things so you can be like, okay, this is what I did. Okay, God, these are the things. And sometimes we've operated so much in this way that we're like, I don't even know what's wrong. I'm thinking I'm okay. I'm cool. So you also have to ask God to reveal that to you. Also, handling temptation, another thing is sometimes you have some people that you were friends with or once friends with that don't respect your abstinence journey. So you also have to pay attention to those people and be like, look, God, if I'm supposed to, you know, distance myself from them, then that's what I need to do. Because, like, for instance, if you got those friend groups and they may constantly be talking about sex or constantly be talking about different things of certain situations, that may tempt you to fall back into bad habits. So you also have to, you have to really reflect on yourself and reflect on those around you. Make sure that you're in a good space. And just like Tayja said, if you do fall, do not stay down. The only time you need to be down is to pray, and that will lift you right back up. You'll be on your knees. You might be crying. You might be on your face. All you have to do is surrender to God, and he hears the urges and the moans. So even if you cannot find the words to say, allow your heart to tell him everything that you want to say. You know what I'm saying? And he will guide you, and he will give you everything you need to keep coming, because the temptation is not going anywhere. It's not ever going to go anywhere. So you have to master the art of being disciplined and just progressing. Just like Transformation Church says, progression, not perfection, because this is not a perfect journey, but it's a necessary journey. So, yeah.
Okay. So for me, I have two scriptures that come to my mind. The first one is 1 Corinthians 6:18, and it says flee from sexual immorality. And I feel like overall it's sexual immorality or temptation, right? The Bible tell you to run. That's how you know how hard it is. Like, tell you to run. Like, you know what I'm saying? So you gotta legit flee, and you have to remove yourself. And I believe that you have to take preventative measures, which means boundaries. So you only know yourself and how far. You shouldn't even ask yourself, really be like, oh, how far should I go? How far, you know? You need to have boundaries to prevent those things from happening, okay? Because like we said, sexual urges are something serious. And once you get yourself in that position, it don't just start from your privates, it goes all the way to your mind. It can take over, and it can definitely lead you to misjudgment and leading you to fall into temptation. So you really just have to really know yourself and be like, okay, I can't be in this situation. Okay, we can't be at each other's house. We need to talk and hang out in the pub. Or, you know, and or stop listening to music, you know, just like what Marleya said. And then the second one was 1 Corinthians 10:13, which is basically saying that there's no temptation that can overtake you. You know, it's like God's not going to give you more than you can bear. So it might seem like it's a lot. Trust and believe. Emotions take over. Your body takes over. But honestly, you have to take control over your mind and be like, I don't have to deal with this. Or like, I can take control of this. You have to tell yourself, okay, be realistic. I'm feeling some type of way. I'm horny. You gotta legit just tell yourself that, but just be like, I'm gonna get over it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to figure out different ways, alternatives. If you're feeling some type of way, go exercise or do something, dance it off, whatever you need to get that energy off, because there's different ways. You just legit have to take your mind off of it, because once you focus in on it, it's gonna be hard, like at the end of the day. But like you said, give yourself grace, because I mean, what you feel is nothing wrong about what you feel. You're supposed to feel that type of way, but you just have to figure out things, you know, to prevent yourself from falling into temptation. The thing is, temptation isn't sinning yet, it's acting on that temptation. That's what you really have to think about. So yeah, it's just sometimes you just gotta pray. You gotta, let me go outside for a while. You know what I'm saying? Or, because the thing is, it can happen with people, but you struggle with it by yourself. So you have to figure out how to do it by yourself and how to do it when people are around. Like I said, you just got to know your boundaries, and you have to stick to your boundaries. And if you break them, then, as you know, just as Tasia Marlea said, just forgive yourself, give yourself grace, and then figure out ways, how did this happen, and how to prevent it from ever happening again. Because look, everybody messes up, everybody sins. You just gotta pick yourself up. What's that song? We fall down, but we get back up. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we gotta do, because that's really just part of life. You mess up, and then you really just cannot beat yourself up over it. You made a mistake, repent, forgive yourself, because God and Jesus have already. You just have to forgive yourself and be like, I can do this. Yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I made mistakes. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're, because the thing is for us, you know, we accept people who are non-virgins or virgins. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're doing it now, you can always stop whenever you want to. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, temptation is always going to be there. It's just self-control, boundaries, and all that jazz. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, ladies, this has been an amazing conversation, and those were some amazing tips. So based on those tips, I'm going to go ahead and give our viewers their help work, and then after that, I'll allow you guys to tell them how they can find you on social media. So guys, our help work for today, this week, the rest of your lives is, one, if you are already practicing abstinence, but you find yourself wanting to give into that temptation, to go ahead and just set those boundaries for yourself. If it's needing to distance yourself from certain friends or friend groups, if it's clearing out your music and starting a separate playlist to listen to later on in life, whatever those boundaries are for you, go ahead and set them. And if you are someone who was once practicing abstinence and then fell into that temptation and was like, well, I guess I can't keep on now, you can, like he said, you can stop at any given moment. God has already forgiven you, and you can forgive yourself as well. So now I'm going to allow them to tell you how you can keep up with Uplift the AWOC and their personal social medias if they want to share that as well.
We have the Instagram and Facebook. So our Instagram is UT_walk. And then the Facebook page is Uplift the AWOC. And my personal Instagram is Kia2_J.
And my personal is Living Sunflower. Marlea.
Oh, and my personal is I'm So Serene. And then my motivational page is serene.motive. So serene.motives.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, ladies, for joining us. To our viewers, go ahead and follow them if you're needing the motivation in your abstinence walk. You know where to find us, at Freedom Revamped, across every social media platform. That is all for today. And until next time, continue to practice freedom.